Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a special election is set. Also, Attorney General Steve Marshall says that redistricting is apartheid. And lawmakers say there's pornography in the children's section of the library.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
What's the like? All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hey, y'all. Hi, guys.
Josh, we got a lot going on here, and Susan, you know, I get frustrated sometimes because there's so much going on that is almost uncontrollable in the sense of there's so many players doing so many things to keep track of. And there's no place more troubling right now than this redistricting court battle. You know, last week, Secretary of State Wes Allen filed a stay. There was a stay that was rejected by the federal three-judge panel. He filed a stay before the Supreme Court. Associate Justice Clarence Thomas is over this district. He has given the stay or the plaintiffs to the September 19th to respond to the stay. And we keep going round and round on this, Josh, where the state of Alabama is insistent that they will not honor the maps that were drawn, and they refuse to follow the federal court's order in hopes of getting it back before the Supreme Court. But this is a long shot, but it's one gamble that they're willing to take to keep their gerrymandered districts.
Yeah, it is. It's the hopes that that partisanship wins out over the law. You can boil it down however you like, but that's what it comes down to, is that they're hoping that the Supreme Court is today partisan enough that they don't care about the law. Now, we've seen this in some other cases to be the truth, but I mean, it's a big thing to overturn completely the Voting Rights Act and to basically tell people that discrimination doesn't matter in making voting maps anymore, because that's what they'll do in this if they rule in Alabama's favor. And that's what Kavanaugh will do if he flips his vote, as people have suspected that he might or what might be willing to entertain the idea anyway. I particularly liked it in the federal court's order, in which they basically, I know they're referring to Wes Allen, although he's not writing any of this stuff that's in these briefs and stuff. But basically, they called him an idiot for believing that he was going to prevail on the merits of this case, and because they're not, and they've told him what needs to happen, and they've defied that. And at that point, you would think that it would be enough for any court, and there's no way forward. But we'll see.
And Susan and Josh brought up a good point that Wes Allen and the legislature, none of these people are writing, they're not writing these briefs. They didn't draw the maps. This all goes back to Attorney General Steve Marshall's office, and Edmund LaCour, the Solicitor General, was in the meetings. Chris Pringle, under deposition, under oath, said that LaCour was in there, had drawing the maps, helping draw the maps. He put forward the talking points. So this is a concerted effort to overturn Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act to benefit Republicans, not benefit voters. And as far as I know, the Solicitor General is not supposed to work for the Republican Party. He's supposed to work for the people of Alabama.
But he also has one benefit. His wife worked on Kavanaugh's confirmation. So they've got a close tie in there with Kavanaugh. But speaking of Steve Marshall and his infinite wisdom, he said of this, quote, race-based redistricting at the expense of traditional principles bears an uncomfortable resemblance to political apartheid. Unquote.
I mean, apartheid, Josh, as we all know, is a Afrikaan word that means, you know, like boss control. I mean, it was when the white minority of South Africa controlled the black population.
And kept them segregated.
Yeah, kept them segregated. I mean, it was so bad that when the British government outlawed slavery, the Afrikaners in South Africa said, oh, well, we'll do apartheid and we'll make them indentured servants.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a great great comparison. Honestly, you know, this is not the, he's not the only one who said some really ignorant things about this and compared it to segregation and race-based map making and things like that, which is exactly what they've done. This is the reason that we're here is because the Republicans who drew this map pack black voters into districts. You can say they can try to deny this all that they want to, but all you need to do to confirm that this is true is go and look at the maps that they drew, okay? And look at how the fingers snake up into Jefferson County, how a little portion of West Montgomery County is carved out, how all of these things came together to pack black voters into one specific district over there because they knew that black voters are going to mostly vote for Democratic candidates. That's all they cared about was doing that. And now to come back on the backside of this and pretend that there was some holy intentions on their part. And oh my God, you mean to tell us that we did this? No way. This was not our intention at all. Let me tell you how you know that's BS is because now they're refusing to undo it. When somebody, one of the most conservative federal courts in the country has looked at this and said, no, man, this is race-based gerrymandering that you've done here. Look at how you've done this over and over and over again, and you refuse to fix it. That's on you.
And what has happened here, and this goes back to LaCour and Marshall, is that members of the Federalist Society and members of dark money groups are wanting to overturn the Voting Rights Act completely so that they can gerrymander the votes. I mean, the Republicans have admitted that if they lose Alabama, they'll lose Georgia and South Carolina and Texas, and they will never be able to hold the United States Congress, the House of Representatives, again.
You mean hold them hostage?
I mean, we need to do that, though, with good ideas.
Agreed.
But not by picking the voters who vote for you. That's not American.
I mean, what you're supposed to do is have good policies and good ideas to encourage people to vote for you, not hold them hostage.
Yeah, but that's what we've got.
That's exactly what they're doing.
We've got a hostage situation here in Washington, D.C. that's spreading to Alabama. But we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Help, help, I'm being oppressed.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Josh, you wrote this last week on the race for House District 10. after David Cole, who you exposed for being a crook, is going to jail. His seat is now open, and there's a race going on. We have at least one Democratic candidate declared, but no Republican yet. What's your take on that race up in District 10, which is an area where you live very close to?
Yeah, I think it'll be very close. I think David Cole benefited, you know, he beat Marilyn Lanz, who has already declared again to run for this seat on the Democratic ticket. He beat her by, I believe, 7 points last time.
Yeah.
Some 52-45, something along those lines. But I think that he, you know, he got a pretty big assist in that midterm by the fact that there was a U.S. Senate race on the ticket. You know, there were some other races up at the top of that ticket that really pushed voters out. And as we know, in this state, that means that you get an increase of Republican straight ticket voting. So that I think that really helped him a lot. And it'd be interesting to see in a special election when the voters are going to go out and vote for people, you know, the two candidates that they believe best represent them, and only those two candidates. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I think Marilyn Lanz is going to be a very formidable candidate. You know, she is a really, really good and really well respected around here. And she's going to have the backing of some former Republicans, or at least still Republicans, I guess, and Mike Ball, who held that seat for a while. And so I think it's going to be a challenge for whoever comes out on the Republican side of this.
I mean, Susan, that Mike Ball, former state rep, Mike Ball from
he's a Republican.
He's a Republican. He held that seat for around 20 years. Mm-hmm. He came out and has endorsed Marilyn Lanz.
I was shocked, absolutely shocked. You know, that you've got Mike Ball, such a staunch Republican, actually coming out and supporting a Democrat in that. And you saw my reaction to that. But he said, it's because, quite frankly, I joined the party of Reagan and left the party of Trump. I mean, it's a different tone. Everything is different.
And that's a big deal, you know, because Josh, you and I, and Susan know for sure that many Republicans are repulsed by what they see as this ultra, ultra right-wing party that the Republicans have become. They are much more traditionalist. They didn't learn how to govern by watching Fox News, but they are afraid to speak out. Ball is out of office. He's not planning on running. He's not afraid to speak his mind. But we hear a lot of them say this in private.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that you know, it's I get irritated with guys that are still in the Republican Party who stick up for the party, but they know better. All right. So, yeah. And we all know this. But I also understand, you know, the kind of the catch 22 that they're in. You know, they're kind of in, like Mitt Romney, they're kind of in no man's land right now. And they know that what's taking place is wrong, which is the reason why, going back to the first segment, they're having to do all the gerrymandering. If they had policies and they were the party of Reagan that was attracting voters through policy issues and policy ideas, then they wouldn't have to do all of this stuff and, you know, crunching the numbers and running around trying to buy the Supreme Court. But this is where they are. And at this point, you know, I applaud Mike Ball, too, for taking a look at the candidates and saying, hey, this is somebody who better reflects my values. I don't care if they have a label on them that says Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or whatever. You know, that's the candidate that I want to vote for. And I wish everybody would do that.
I do, too. That's the way you're supposed to do it. But people don't want to do the homework anymore. No. But you're supposed to look at the candidates and see what best suits your goals. And then they vote for your representative because they're representing what you believe in. I wish more people would do that.
Well, the problem is, and I go back to this, one of the big problems is that the party has become, every party is nationally based. Every issue now is nationally based.
Yeah.
What's good for Alabama is not necessarily good for California or New York State or Georgia or Texas. It's not the same. We are individual states. But they act as if we're all cookie cutters.
And well, let me take it a step further than that, okay? What's good for Madison may not be good for Birmingham.
And
break it down to your specific district. Worry about things that matter to you, your school systems, you know, your garbage pickup, the things that really matter. How good are your roads and streets around your neighborhoods and where you drive? those people influence your daily life every single day, okay? And yeah. This idea that you've nationalized everything, you're hurting yourself out of it.
Well, the thing is we know well, they want you to keep your eye over here on Washington, mm-hmm. D.C., and ignore what's going on in Montgomery. They don't want you to see it. I mean, that's part of the thing. But this whole nationalizing goes back to this next dude. You know, the families of transgender youth who have now criminalized doctors in the state of Alabama who treat children with gender dysphoria, they have criminalized it. They threatened to put them in prison. They have asked for the 11th Circuit, the federal 11th Circuit out of Atlanta, to take a look at this case, because across the country, different federal judges and different state judges have made different rulings on whether they can ban treatment for transgender youth. So they want them to look at that, Susan.
Yeah, they do, because, you know, even though it's kind of in limbo right now where it's actually, you know, not being enforced, it's still very important. A lot of people are confused about the constitutionality of this and whatever, but this is not a constitutional issue. It's a matter of a medical decision between a doctor and a parent for a child. And they want them to reopen this and look at it again to see if there's any way that they can get this stopped.
I mean, Josh, they're going to put doctors in jail for treating patients.
Yeah, that's basically the best way to say it. You know, I've yet to find a soul who has actually read through the standard procedures that take place in these cases and, right. and understand what the doctors and the patients work through and how long it takes and all of the steps that are involved and all the counseling that is involved and the actual physical, or I guess I should say non-physical influence that the doctors have. There's no surgeries or anything like that that takes place on minors. And so I've yet to find anybody who's read through all that and fully understands it who are then against this practice.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you're talking about, I know there's more to it, but essentially, you're talking about puberty blockers. You're talking about slowing down the puberty process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, there's no surgeries involved. There's no turning and giving a child a pill and turning from a boy into a girl. That doesn't happen.
Well, and some of these guys are hopped up on testosterone all the time.
Yeah, really.
You know, may find that they can't get their testosterone if this keeps going on.
That's
but
right.
Anyway. We'll leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down, be careful, care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, I want to talk about good things about Alabama. I love the state of Alabama. I think we have some good people in government. I think we have some of the best business leaders in the country, right here in Alabama. But what we're seeing from our Republican representatives, many of them, is a capitulation to a small but loud minority who are bad for business, they're bad for government, and they're bad for the future of the state. But again, the Republicans will not stand up to him because they're afraid that that minority can vote him out of office. And nowhere is that more evident than this whole defund libraries. Mm-hmm. There's a small group of people that got together and said, oh, there's pornography in the children's section of the library. A lie. But now they have been joined by State Senator Arthur Orr, Representative Stadhagen, Scott Stadhagen, and to a milder degree, Representative Nathaniel Ledbetter, who's actually the Speaker of the House, the most powerful person in Alabama politics, who are all calling for some variation of moving books, banning books, defunding libraries. I mean, you know, Republicans got all cranked up, Josh, when we said, when people said defund the police, but now they want to defund libraries.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I could take them a lot more seriously if when people went roaming into classrooms with guns and killed, you know, dozens of school children, if they were at, they had the same outrage at board meetings and places like that, but they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, when children were actually in danger, they didn't. But now we've got a political issue, and we see that we can do some political grandstanding somewhere. And so now we're flooding the library to, you know, to yell and scream at these poor librarians and folks that are doing nothing but managing books and putting books on the shelf so people can read and learn and kids can grow up and not hate each other. And so God forbid that we do that. And so Let's create this list of books that they want to ban or that they think that shouldn't be there or whatever. And then beside it, let's also create a list of moron parents. All right. I want a list of all the moronic parents that roamed into libraries to read about LGBTQ kids and think that these kids, I guess, don't exist somewhere, or they, you know, in their kids' schools, or that they're not friends with their kids. Because let me tell you what those parents are not doing. They're not talking to their own children. That's right. What they're not doing, because those children of theirs, they have kids who are gay and lesbian, who are struggling, who are going through things, who they talk to all the time. And they're not nearly as freaked out by this stuff as these bunch of morons are. All right. And that's what they all are. Every single one of them are morons for doing this.
Well, you know, the thing, the real problem here is that you've got tens of people, not tens of thousands of people, that are screaming mm-hmm. about this. And the representatives are reacting to it. And as Bill said, I heard him say this morning, why don't they listen to the people they're not hearing from? You know, the people that are fine with libraries the way they are, instead of these small groups of people that get really, really loud and get everybody's attention.
I mean, the fact is, if you have 1,000 people call you as a lawmaker, that means that almost 5 million didn't call you because they didn't care. A CBS poll found that a majority of Republicans do not want books banned or removed from libraries. There's your idea. But the truth is, Susan, they want to change the culture. Mm-hmm. They want to control children. They use Nazi propaganda language, as we pointed out before. They model it on a sort of fascist regime of controlling youth. They want to control everybody's kids. Mm-hmm. They don't want to just control what their kids, everybody's kids. And, you know, they think they're going to change the culture.
I think they've got a long way coming on that. You know, from transgender youth to libraries. And like they're trying to mold these children into something that I don't really recognize.
They're trying to mold them into stupid voters. That's what they're trying to mold them into. Yeah.
There you go.
Because
you know,
the stupid voters are going to vote for these stupid policies. All right? That's what they're trying to mold them into.
And
because
that's
the only chance that they've got.
What policies?
The thing they want to do is change the culture of the country. They claim to be culture warriors. They want to, and I say they're culture warriors in cosplay. You know, they're the little, they get dressed up. That's like playtime for them. They're warriors.
And they make signs.
They do make signs.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they're very close to many legislators. But if you really want to change culture, you better talk to Taylor Swift. You better talk to Lady Gaga. You better talk to, you know, the people that do movies. Because Taylor Swift has 500 million people on social media that follow her. If Taylor Swift said we shouldn't ban books, which I think she would say, then you got a problem, But if she said banned books, then you got another problem.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift has a lot more influence.
A whole lot more
over
influence.
Culture.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, hell, I've got more influence than they do. I mean, honestly, we're seriously talking about you don't know any of these people. Nobody knows these people. And whenever they're on Facebook or something, there's thousands of people that go, what are you talking about, you raving lunatic? You know, and it's just that's what these people are viewed as in regular society, regular everyday life. These people that show up to libraries screaming at librarians about pornography and books or whatever, they're viewed as lunatics to the rest of society out here. And that's exactly what they are. They're raving crazy people that are somehow or another being listened to by our lawmakers because they've so gerrymandered the hell out of the voting maps in this state that they've got to listen to these crazy people. You know what?
Susan, we
should do them a favor and fix the map so they don't have to listen to these nuts.
What kind of punks go after teachers in the library?
What kind of masculinity are you lacking that you're trying to make enemies out of teachers and librarians of all people who are trying to help
books.
Your children?
God sakes, it's books that are written out there. And I mean, whose kids are sneaking into the library? If your kid is sneaking into the library to get a book, give them a hug, for God's sake.
How are the ones that are not able to drive actually going to get to the libraries? Well, we don't want children on the street and bicycles anymore.
You can't go to libraries without a parent if you're under 12 years old. And they think they're going to roam into, I hear this, they're going to roam into a section with pornography. And basically, it's kids bouncing around and they're running into books and seeing.
Yeah, they're going to pass, they're going to pass three gun stores on the way there, all right? I'd be more worried about them roaming into that.
Since when have we had a pornography section in a public library?
Well, there used to be National Geographic. That was pretty racy.
That was pretty racy,
yeah.
Sears catalog, yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine.
Honestly, it's lunatics out here raving, just running crazy. And the actual dangers to the children that we have, guns, the number one killer of children that we have, nobody's saying a word. You know, it's insanity what we're talking about here.
Because the First Amendment of free expression, free speech, and all that matters a whole lot less than how many rounds you've got in a magazine. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.